Page 1165 of the Bibles in the pews, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, page 1165, Paul's vision and his thorn. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be
to God. Please sit down. I will be referring to that passage in 2 Corinthians 12, so it might be helpful to have it open in your Bibles. Now, I wonder what you would say if someone asked you why you believe in God, or if someone asked you what makes you a Christian. I guess if you're anything like me, after that panicked moment of, oh my goodness, what on earth am I going to say, and that heartfelt kind of help God prayer, you might think about talking about a time when you'd had an amazing experience of God's love or presence with you. Or you might explain that you've read the Bible and studied Jesus' claims and have concluded that being a Christian is the right way to live. Or you might say that you're a Christian because of the way you behave. You behave in a certain way. You try and love God and others and live your life well. Again, if you're anything like me, when someone asks what makes you a Christian, it's probably unlikely that you'll say, "I realise that I can't live my life without making a mess of it. I realise that I needed Jesus' help to make me live. I can't live well without God's help." It's hard to say I'm a Christian because I need help. None of us like to admit to the fact that running our lives on our own leads us into a mess. None of us like to admit that actually we do need a crutch to run our lives, that we need God as our crutch. And yet in this passage we've just read, that's precisely what Paul is doing. Paul says in verse 1, I must go on boasting. He has been asked for his credentials as a church leader, in the same way as sometimes people ask us for our credentials as Christians. And Paul answers in a surprising way. In verses 1 to 5, he speaks in the third person about this amazing spiritual mystical experience that he has had. But even though he was caught up to paradise and saw inexpressible things, things so marvellous that they should not be shared with others, Paul would not boast about this experience. This experience isn't what made Paul a Christian. It didn't give him the credentials to be a church leader. The problem about saying that we're Christians because of our experiences of God's love, or our careful reading or study of the Bible, or because of how we live, the problem about using these things to explain why we believe in God isn't because they're bad things. They aren't. They're really good things. The problem about using them as our Christian credentials is that they point back to us, to our careful study, to our behaviour, to our amazing spiritual experiences, rather than pointing to God and his goodness and love. So instead, Paul says he will only boast about his weakness. And here in the passage, he goes back to speaking in the first person. He will boast about the thorn in the flesh that torments him, because it reminds him that God's power is made perfect in weakness. He will boast in the fact that he needs God as his crutch. And it's difficult, isn't it, to admit that we need God as a crutch, because that's admitting to the reality that we can't manage on our own. We're not the independent, confident, self-sufficient people we would like others to think that we are. My parents were over in Tunbridge last weekend, and for those of you that met her, you might have realised that my mum is finding walking a bit difficult. She's suffered from arthritis for quite a long time and really needs a hip replacement. However, while she waits in pain, I have to say she's very, very resistant to using a walking stick. Somehow she prefers to try and clutch onto my dad or clutch onto me or the railings or whatever there is, rather than admitting that actually she just needs a walking stick to help her walk. And isn't this a picture of what many of us are like? We don't want to be dependent on God. We don't want to have to admit that we need his help. But that's precisely what our weaknesses help us to do. Whatever Paul's thorn in the flesh was, and quite a lot of the commentaries seem to think that it was some sort of mental or physical illness, whatever that thorn was, it reminded him of the truth that he needed a crutch, the truth that he needs God's help. But there are two things we need to be careful about when we're talking about our weaknesses. We need to be careful not to point back to ourselves rather than to God. Imagine if my mum did get a crutch to help her walk, and various people commented on how much better she seemed to be walking. And imagine if instead of saying, "Oh yes, this crutch has been really helpful," she told them all about how she researched all the different crutches and what made her choose that particular crutch. It would be very easy for the story to become all about my mum's search for the ideal crutch rather than to be about the crutch itself. And sometimes we're a bit like that in how we share God with others. We need to be careful when we're telling people that we're Christians, when we're telling people that we're Christians because we're weak. And we need God to take control of our lives, that it doesn't become all about us and point away from God to us and what wonderful, patient, long-suffering people we are. And one way I've found to do this is to think and pray a bit about why we're sharing the gospel with people. For me, as many of you know, my sister's illness and death was a time when I truly experienced God's power and love holding me. I could not have got through that dark time without God. But I don't want, and I'm my reason for sharing that gospel and hope with my friends is because I don't want any of my friends who aren't Christians to suffer the pain and darkness that often comes in life without God's light and love. So I want to point to him and away from myself. Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. We need to talk about our weaknesses and our pain in ways that point to Jesus. But we also need to be truthful and honest about our weaknesses. I'm sure you've probably filled out application forms or gone to job interviews where they ask you about your strengths and weaknesses. And the key when they ask you about your weaknesses is to try and put something that sort of can be seen in quite a positive light. So you say things like, oh, I'm a workaholic or I'm a perfectionist, because then it makes people think you're going to work hard or be careful. I bet not many of us say or put in our forms, I'm really lazy or messy or slapdash. We want to put our weaknesses in a positive light. But when we're talking about our weaknesses in relation to God, we need to be truthful about the fact that we do mess up, that we are in pain, and that we are flawed creatures. Paul reminds us earlier, I think in the first of this sermon series, we looked at 2 Corinthians 4, I think, where he reminds us that we have this treasure in jars of clay. When we did that section, right, in September or whenever it was, I was doing this children's work at St. Philip's, and we actually made jars of clay. We got clay and we made those pots, you know, those thumb pots, and put a little tea light in. And what was surprising, or what it reminded me, was that actually the ones that were not so good, the ones that had cracks in the sides, the ones where Joshua had kneaded the clay a bit too much and had a hole, they were the best ones for the light to come out. And I think that's a really good picture of actually our weaknesses and our failures is where it's often the best place for God's light to shine out of our lives, for God's light to be seen. So we need to be truthful about the fact that we do mess up and that we are flawed creatures. And yet what's so amazing is that God chooses us. Yes, you and me, in all our weaknesses and flaws, to share his love with others. Those lovely words in verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong, are a comfort. Christ's power works through our weaknesses. We are no longer weak and powerless, but we can rest, knowing that the powerful maker of the universe will work through us for his glory. But in closing, let's just remind ourselves of Jesus' ultimate powerful gesture, which was dying on the cross, the place where the power of love defeated the love of power, the place where ideas of weakness and power are turned upside down, the place that gives us a whole new perspective on power and shows us the power of self-sacrificing love to change the world. So how do we answer someone when they ask us what makes us a Christian? Well, a good place to start is to think about those places in our lives where we are weak, those places in our lives where we are in pain, and those places in our lives where we've known God's powerful love at work in us. And it's really important to remember that it's not actually about us and our achievements, but instead it's about Jesus. And if this sounds daunting, remember that all we need to do is to admit our need of God and accept his powerful help, and then we can allow him to use us so that others, all our friends and neighbours, all those people in Tunbridge who are suffering and in pain, will come to know and experience his powerful love. In a minute, I'm going to pray, and we'll have a bit of time to just think about our weaknesses. But we're going to lead straight on to singing our next song, which is Lord, I Come Before Your Throne of Grace. And we're seeing this still sitting as a prayer. So if the music group don't mind coming up. This song just reminds us of that amazing God that we serve, whose power works in and through us. So let's pray. Let's have a moment to think about our weaknesses. Where are those dark places in our lives where we have experienced God's love and power? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God who works through our weaknesses. Thank you that we can admit before you that we need your help. Thank you for that powerful help that you have given to us. Please help us to share this love and power with all those around us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.